I've been referring a lot recently to the image and the idea of a baby in the crib. And I think it's really foundationally important because the I am, that precedes our lives, that infiltrates our lives, that informs our lives, begins there. And the interesting thing about the I am in the crib is there's no known story. There's no history, there's no future projection. The only thing is, feed me, change my diaper, hold me. That's the totality. And then out of that, the brain, brilliant as it is, begins to weave a tale. If I cry a certain way, they come sooner. If I cry more, they come faster. If I just whimper, they don't come at all. When they hug me, if I feel the love going back to them, if there's a feeling of communion, it gets better. If it's all one way, it's not as good. And these pieces of information start to inform our foundational, fundamental self. And we become the programming of our own mind in our relationship to the world around us. And it goes very quickly. You know, by the age of one, we're really beginning to formulate a lot of the story. We are where we live, where we come from. We don't have it intellectually yet, but we get, it's comfortable, it's not comfortable. They take care of me, they don't take care of me. They come when I need them, they don't come. These pieces of information are really important to creating a sense of what we will call the self. But this is an imposed self on the I am. The I am is the foundation. And it never really goes away. It goes away only in that you don't attend to it. You don't look at it. You don't reference it very much. The I am becomes the story, the unfolding, the good and the bad, the history, the drama, the projection of future. And that's who you become for most of the ride. It's programmed. It's not wrong. It's not torment. It's not anything at all. It's just, this is the form that you genetically have been given to fill out and to live. The I am inhabits this space. And it is very common for most people to forget the I am. And yet, I will tell you, it has never gone anywhere. That baby in the crib is still there. It's still looking out. It still has a simplicity of being. It's still very, very quiet. And it is very connected to this unknown, unknowing, unknowable reality. But it's not mentally connected to it. It's not thinking about, well, where did I just come from? How did I get here? What was the womb situation? How did I emerge? None of that is there. None of it. It's just, And there is an assembly process. You're putting it together, but the together is incidental. It's full of happenings, stuff arising around you, and then a reaction to the stuff that rises around you, which is like, I like that, and I don't like that. I'm going to go more this way, chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. Go away from whatever the negatives are, garlic. You know, nope, not for me. You start to develop a continuity of expression that defines you, and you get lost in that. Everyone basically gets lost in it. And we're a collective, so in a way, we all go back to the singularity of the baby in the crib. It may be different cribs in different homes with different sets of parents, But there is a foundational reality that there is this being there that is about to be exposed to the materialized experiential world. And you will go on a trip, on a journey, every one of you. And you're all on it. We're all on it together. And we're all on this journey with a series of responses to that journey. Some are more problematic than others. Some are loving the ride. Some are not loving the ride. Some are, most of us, mixed bag. Like that part, don't like that part. But the problematic element in all of this is that the ride is temporary. That it is a, if you will, a moment in time or a series of moments in time that appear to be leading somewhere. And in your own mind, you're projecting where. But the reality is the I am knows it's only going one place, which is back to where it has always been. I am. That's all it's doing. It's flowering and then it's gone. And if you are caught up in the flowering and caught up in the goal of getting somewhere down the road, some future place, and you have forgotten I am, the ride is going to be very disturbing and ultimately betraying your idea of who you are. Because that wasn't how it was supposed to play out. I was supposed to get, I was supposed to have, I was supposed to do, but all of this stuff that comes into the equation, which creates enormous unhappiness and suffering for people. And we all go through it. Every human being goes through this, except some people stop the ride. They just stop it. Buddha stopped the ride. He said, nope, there's too much suffering out there. And the palatial experience that he had as a child did not seem to like project itself into ultimate happiness. And he just sat down under a tree and he said, what is this? He started the journey back to I am. He started the journey back to the simplicity of just being. That simplicity is an important journey that all of us here in the meditative universe essentially have found ourselves on. For some reason, and I always call it initiatory, something goes wrong or doesn't work properly in the materialized story of your life, and you go, not working. Not working. What can I do? Well, there's a lot of reactions to what can I do. And they're not all meditative. There are pills, there are alcohol, there is other stories to take, there's sex, you know all the possibilities out there. Those of you who are brought into the idea of meditation, of stillness, of a return to the I am, have found that there's a really interesting passageway into something that has never, ever gone away. And that passageway is into this whatever it is that's sitting in that crib going, no words, no voice, no thought, nothing. It's just, do you remember that? Because you come from that. It's not that far away, really. You may have gone on a big journey, but you arrive from that kind of wonder. Meditation takes you back into moments of that. So it's a recollection. And then real life comes and breaks that apart again. Because, you know, there's so many things happen. The doorbell rings, somebody's delivering a package you want or don't want. You know, you have to go to the bathroom. You have people coming over. You've got something, the deadline that's not finished. And all of that happens and that disappears, even though it's still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. You have gone somewhere. And you go into your cognitive state. You think you have the answers and the pictures and the ideas about what this is and what you're doing and where it's going and all of that stuff. And, you know, you try to compare it to other people because everybody else is seemingly in sync with you on some level. And to the degree that you commune about it, you get reinforced with, oh, so this is what it is. You go to school and you're programmed. I don't want to be negative about this, but you are programmed into the world collectively. This is our history. This is where we come from. This is how we got here. This is where we go. And then you start to break into, you know, religious groups and spiritual groups and historical and intellectual groups. And you get your corner of the picture for whatever it is. But everything you hold on to intellectually and foundationally in your mind is a temporary formation. It's not going to last. And if you get to my wonderful ripe old age, it starts to fade away. And it's really interesting because my story for me is almost of no interest. I do not spend my day referencing my history, my past. I just don't listen. I don't go there. I don't go to my childhood. I don't go to my career. I don't go to any of that stuff. I go a little bit to the things that attract me, and they're very minor. They're my grandchildren and my children and my wife. Kind of that's it. And you guys. And much of you guys is because I'm told to be there, but I got to say every time I go there, I'm very grateful that I showed up. But that's it. I don't have a big future plan. I don't think I'm going to get rich doing this or get rich doing that or whatever it is you think is going to happen, or that if I go to the gym, I will live forever. None of that's operating at all. I am simply finding, and this is really interesting, and I share it with you because maybe you'll start to find it as well. I'm doing this thing of going, it is amazing. It's amazing. I just am. I am. And it's not a big deal. And it's not like I've arrived at I am after years of search and meditative life and all of that. It never went away. All that's happened is it's falling away because the body does that. The mind does that. Everything falls away. And I promise you, like it or not, it's going to happen to you in one way or another, either in an instant or over time. But it will happen. And as you fall away, as this falls away, what is still there is, interestingly, this wonder. And it has feelings. Foundational feelings. Part of them are, I mean, something called love, gratitude. There's fear. There's primal fear in it. There is unknowing, but it's not problematic. It's just seeing, witnessing, observing, experiencing stuff. And it has this voice, but it's not a voice that goes, I am. I am. It knows this thing. It's an actual experiential reality. I am. And the I am is potent. And it's always been potent. And it drives everything that's going on in your life. But your lives are evolving and changing and ultimately coming to an end. But this I am sits there in this enormously powerful way. Enormously powerful way. And it is the ultimate you. And if you can, in your meditative life, in your still pointedness, in your walking down the street, or whatever it is you do, find your way back to that quietude, that simplicity, that lying in the crib before you get hungry, before you get sad, before you have to wonder, you know, will they come again and take me out of the crib? Before all of those voices and noises, you just, that's the ultimate in spiritual development. And it isn't development, because that's a terrible word for this. It's just going, oh, they call it realization. So you can go, oh, but it isn't like that because it's so familiar. It's just, oh, it never went anywhere. It's never been gone. It doesn't go anywhere. And the reality is that your life is an emanation of that. And in a way, miraculously so, because it has so much story and so much continuity with other people and with other experiences that it weaves this rich tale for better or for worse. And there will be both better and worse. And it will create all of these dramas. It will create all of these beauties, all of these exquisite moments, all of these horrific moments. And that's the thing you, the I am, is here to witness. So if you want to create a philosophical, religious, theological debate about why, go for it. I cannot provide those answers. And I don't know any teacher who can, but not that there aren't many who will try. All I can say is it is, and adding to it is like an and is a mistake, but I am is all of this. It's the totality. I am is the still pointedness at the center of everything that's going on, and it is everything that can possibly happen, all going on in a world that is made manifest in ways that are part of the, you know, lying in the crib and not knowing mentally is the simplest version of it. But sitting in your living room or your bedroom or walking down the street and having the same feeling, that's amazing. That's amazing. And some people get that and try to capture it, you know, the beauty of it, all the artists in the world, the, you know, people who paint and photograph and make movies and who write books and who sing and do all of these things, make music, they're trying to capture this ineffable amazement at this experiential, shared experiential reality of I am. But the essential thing to recognize, if you want a life that has any kind of centrality or peace or comfort or whatever it is you're looking for, is know that it's impermanent and know that what it comes from is pervasive, is always there. Whether it goes on beyond death, I'm going to project the answer to be yes, but I can't certainly tell you that. But my sense of that, my experience of it, is it goes on. Not only that it goes on, but it is even more amazing, more dramatically vast and infinite than anything we touch as a infant in a crib. That's just a taste, the I am tasting itself. But once you get past the taste, what you experience is the isness of it. There's no one tasting. There is no one. It's just massive and tiny. You know, there's no description that fits it at all. They're just is, and these words all fall away like they're meaningless. But it seems to me the value of this meditative journey that we are all on is that it allows us to keep tasting the what is, the I am. We can keep tasting it. You don't have to live a life completely forgetting that it exists. And you will look around you and you will see people who have managed to pull that off. They have no clue that I am. No clue. They are the I am, but they are clueless to it. And their journey through life is traumatic, unpleasant, causing of pain to them and to many others. And it creates the nature of this shared universe that we have that is inexplicable in every level. But the only way to navigate this that will make it, will go bearable to wonderful, is knowing I am. Finding your way back to the crib, finding your way back to stillness of being in that little place where there is no story, there is no you left, there's no projection of something that will be, that will take care of things or ruin things or whatever it is you're projecting. It all just sort of settles into this. And if you get it for a moment, like 4 minutes, it makes your day. It can make your life. If you really touch it, it's a reason to be alive because it expresses so much appreciation, for the manifested and the unmanifested reality of our lives. It's so rich. It's so deep. It's so beautiful. And it gives purpose. And if you want to give the word meaning to the whole thing, even though meaning is invisible and meaning is not intellectual at all, it gives, in a way, a reason for coming into all of this, just to touch I am. That is enough of a reason. The idea of purpose, the idea of having a goal in life, you may think it's out there to get and have and own and do all this other stuff. I will try to persuade you that it's none of that, because all that falls away. And what it is what has been lying there, which is when I teach this class, that space opens up. And because it's a shared communal space, it knows you. So it filters into you. And what it sees very clearly, I mean, with such unbelievable awareness, is where you're not seeing it, where you're blocked, whether it's your mind, or your heart, your gut. There's in everybody, there are so many distractions and obstructions. And what this self, I am, wants to do is touch the blockage, touch the part of you that's distracted, touch the part of you that's forgotten, and go, that's all it wants to do. And it does it. And I see it when I teach, and I use the word I not as Bruce, but when I teach, I know, the I am knows exactly where to go, exactly what to do, and how to assist you in this journey back to your I am. That's what it does. That's the whole goal. And then it makes your life easier. It gives you a much sweeter ride. And it gives you the opportunity, when you know I am, to go through life bringing this awareness to other people. And you become a vehicle for I am, which in my mind is a holy truth. The I am wants to be known. It wants people to remember. It wants people to wake up to its truth. It wants the world to live in awareness of it. But it also has created a world of forgetting and a world of suffering and a world of drama and a world of all the stuff we're in. So it's not like it's not capable of probably doing that in an instant and waking us all up instantaneously. And there you are. And death may be that. I don't know. But in the meantime, we're here. And we have, I would call it, work to do. One, touch the I am. Two, live with that where you can. Three, share it with anyone who's available. And you don't have to teach it. And you don't have to lay it on thick. You don't have to do anything. You just be it. And it will transfer. It will transmit into the lives of other people. And you will bring a kind of richness to the world, the I am to the world. And you will get to live in the atmosphere that you create, that you share. You will get to live in the I am that you project. So we're in a very extraordinary space, because not everybody's talking about this. Not everybody is thinking about it. Not everybody is even aware that the possibility of this infantile beauty is already radiant in our lives every day. But we are people who are living a life working, in Rudy's terms, working to get back to that truth in a way that we become vehicles, vessels, openings, conduits for this in the world. And it's a great thing. It's a great way to live your life. That's all I can tell you. And as I find my memory banks emptying out and I find all this stuff falling away, I don't miss any of it. I don't miss any of it. And I've had a wonderful, wonderful life. And I've written this book now, and I'm editing it over and over. It's driving me crazy. But it's like, get it out there. If I get it on the page, I don't have to ever reference it again. I don't care about the journey. I care about the reaction that has occurred inside, which is I met my wife. I met my teacher. I have children and grandchildren. I have people like you that I love dramatically. And it's all come through this exquisite ability, I guess. I don't know that I own the ability or gift of touching the truth of I am. And it is not mine alone. We all share it. We all have access. And if you do it, that will make me feel really happy. I will feel much happier in my life with your achievement than my own at this point, because I can't remember and I don't put it in context, but being around people who are awakening is pure joy. And to have that is a gift, and that's something we're all reaching for. So I wish you all the crib-like experience of wonder and amazement of just sitting there and not crying and not reaching and not wanting and not waiting or any of that stuff. Just sit there and go. And that will be enough. Any questions? George. I probably have to unmute you, and God knows I don't
know. I unmuted myself.
Okay, go for it.
I just want to express my appreciation for your teaching. And please don't stop teaching, because you're wonderful at describing the undescribable, the unknowable. Thank you.
Thank you. I have every desire to stop teaching. That's all I can tell you. But they absolutely are not presenting that as an option. And I use they in Rudy's sense of the guys upstairs. They keep saying, it's not about you, forget it. You know, show up. I literally have no clue when I sit down here what I'm ever going to say to anybody. And I feel like it's all probably been said. On the other hand, you know, if my body's working and the brain is working and this thing is happening, I will attempt to share it. If it goes away, luckily there are a lot of recordings of it. More importantly, your I am is as rich a source of nurturing and information as anything I can say. So, you know, it's not mine. You know, we all have it, and we all have the ability. It ain't that hard. If Bruce Rubin can do this, anybody can do this. I was not to the manner born. How this all happened, you'll have to read the book, but it's a strange story. But anyway, here it is unfolding, and it's unfolding partly because I'm told to do it, partly because I have learned to love people dramatically, and I love you guys. Anybody else?
Bruce, I have a question.
Okay, Zach.
I'm looking forward to reading your book also, so I just want to say that. But you know, the being, and there's the Rudy's, I don't know what you call it, intent of spiritual growth. And I'm wondering, it doesn't seem like the being grows, but obviously there's some kind of like active growth process here. You're talking about people that meditate and don't meditate. Is it just like a clearing away and aligning, or what? Could you describe that a little bit?
You just did. Clearing away and aligning. You know, I mean, this is a journey we're on that gets full. And the growth is to return to something primal. Now, some people discover that primal thing is something that exists kind of like through effort, and you get there through practice, which in some ways is true. But at some point you realize it never went anywhere, that there's no attainment. There's just an awareness, that, you know, or a realization, excuse me, that it's been there all the time. So growth is a funny word, but it is real. There is a sense of growing into a greater awareness. It just happens to be a very old awareness that has gotten covered up through lots and lots of stuff piling in. And you need a big shovel. So yeah, that's work. Shovel away, dig out, open up, get rid of all the crap. And then there it is again. Is that growth? Is that work? You know, those are words to describe it, but it gets complicated for the brain. So the less you think about it, and the more you just sit quietly, and I would use the word feel or allow this deeper expression to reveal itself, the better that is. The more you're trying, the more there's a you trying, and that's a whole other dimension in a sense, the you and the it. But the more there's a you trying, you obstruct. And when you let go of the you that's trying and you just settle into the fact that it's right here now, and there's nobody that has to try so much at a certain point, you go, oh, and there it is. It's already there. So the you trying to get there kind of gets mucks up the works a little bit. On the other hand, what else have we got? You know, we're here doing the work, and you will do the work until you realize there's no one to do the work and there's no work to be done. That's a kind of a horrible concept for minds that try to grasp something. But as you let go of all of that grasping, the revelation is very simple. And then you just stop. If you're not me, you stop talking. You just go, wow, okay. You don't have to articulate it at all. You just live it as best you can. I happen to, you know, talk a lot. But anyway, it's don't get lost in thinking or anything. Just sit quiet. Be there. Open your eyes. Look around you. Let it happen. You know, and if you have to react, again, I'm going to go back to other stuff I talk about. The best reaction to the world is be a good person and be kind. And that will undo a lot of the knots that are in you, because most of us knot ourselves up by not being kind and not being good or not being smart about our lives. So you undo it by reacting differently. So when the thing in you goes like, you know, go like that. And I will tell you, life will give you thousands of opportunities to knot up, thousands, until you become nothing but a knotted form. And death is probably the only thing that will unknot you. And it won't be fun, but it will take care of that. You do it now, it's probably a wiser move. That's why I think meditative lives are valuable, because they prepare you for the ultimate letting go of everything. And they do it, I'm finding, more gently than I ever imagined. The mere fact that my past life, childhood, career, all of that stuff just is not percolating in my brain day by day. I'm just here. It's really interesting. I'm just here. I have a little bit of fear of future because I see where things are going and there's pain and stuff like that. But I pull back from that because I don't want to be there. And I just sit here. It's really interesting. I'm not 100% successful. You know, I have struggled with it at some points, but it's where we're all headed. We're all headed to here. Nowhere else. Here. So make peace with it. You're already here. So what's the journey exactly? What's the journey? It's to forget all the other stuff and go, oh, it's right here. Oh, that's all it is. Wendy, I think you had a question.
I did. Thank you, Bruce. First of all, thank you so much. During meditation, my heart brought this question up and you answered it. You spoke for my heart. You spoke to my heart. So thank you. I find that every time I become like, wow. I appreciate that. And the other thing that came up was kind of what you just said. I saw here, actually being here, and I saw there. And when the mind travels, the thoughts travel there or there. And just kind of a lesson of the difference. So like the realization, like, oh yeah. But the question, the follow-up question my heart has, because you and Blanche have a relationship that, I don't know that how much you talk about it, but I can feel it without you saying any words. Like it's so clear and so inspiring. What would you say is the relationship between this work, this connection we're deepening in with I am, or recognizing we are I am, and then that in relationship or connection to having such a brilliant relationship, such a heart-loving wife, husband.
You're projecting like mad here. You know, yeah, it's a good relationship, and I'm beyond grateful for Blanche. She's like my other half, and I couldn't have had this life without her. We are both changing. We are both growing. We're both, the past is fading for both of us. We're going through all these transformations, and there probably are two or three or five classes that I could present just based on those transformations and changes that occur in relationship. They're potent and they are inevitable in life. And you cannot predict any of them. All I can tell you, be kind. Because when someone asks you the same question seven times, there's a thing that starts to happen and you cannot give into that. And also there's this extraordinary sense of without this other, this would not be. So you go reach into the other and you find this unbelievable gratitude. So, you know, Blanche's hearing is gone, so she can't hear alarm clocks. So I have to wake her up in the morning, and I wake her up with touch. And it is so beautiful and so loving and so wonderful and a great way to start the day. The alarm clock was good at one point and it worked very well for all of us. But the touching thing, the sense of gratitude that I have somebody lying in the bed next to me who I love and who's been a friend and caretaker and partner for 50 plus years, you know, there's real positivity and gratitude in there. But as that starts to disintegrate, which it is doing now for both of us, you know, everything. We're standing in the kitchen, I may have said this a week or so ago, trying to figure out what a microwave was called. The two of us could not figure out the name of microwave for the life of us. You know, and if, I mean, I don't remember if it was written on there or not, but we were like idiots. And that's what's happened. That's a whole new world. So someday I'll talk about that maybe in greater depth, but it doesn't change today's talk, which is relationship is part of the story, but the I am is the key. And the I am is singular, it's also plural, but the singular element of it includes the plural. And if you break it up into parts, you're still part of the story. And if you're part of the story, it has ups and downs and ins and outs and goods and bads, and all stories do. And that's the nature of story. And if you're a screenwriter, if you don't have the obstacles and the problems and the differences, you know, you don't have a movie. There's nothing. So you got to add tension and drama and stuff like that. Lives do the same thing and keep us interested. But it also is not always the happiest journey. So you have to work it through. You have to work it through. You have to get to the point where it's as open and loving as possible. And a lot of movies I'm discovering right now are coming up with this idea of kindness as the answer. And that's an interesting thing to me that it's happening now. So, you know, I think that's also my answer. And it works with me and Blanche, and it works with me and everybody else.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else?
Bruce?
Yes.
Dale?
Yeah, there you are. Okay.
You're... Today's talk reminds me of the one you gave 2 years ago on the 14th of February called The Big Picture. And I'm so grateful for these teachings online. And today, it just, when you what you were saying about the infantile, it is the big picture. The two just are one. And yesterday I had somebody, a delivery, come to the door, and I had been in the process of watching the squirrel at my bird feeder hanging upside down like a real acrobat. And I said to the delivery man, come here, we'll show you something. And he looked at me as if, oh boy, this old lady's really losing it.
Well, but I mean,
to me it was just as fascinating as if I had seen that the first time when I would be three.
That's a really good point. It's very similar. The idea of discovery at our age, and you have some years on you, and you do a beautiful job of teaching me, but at our age, discovering a joy in what would have excited you when you were a child is really, really powerful. And I think I spoke about this last week. I don't remember about suspenders, because when I was 4 years old, I had suspenders, God knows why. And now I'm back to suspenders, but I feel like I don't feel like an 80-year-old guy wearing suspenders. I feel like a kid. And it's really interesting. So the journey does kind of go backwards, and sometimes it takes someone at the doorbell to reveal that for you. So it's a great thing. Is that it, guys? Okay. Thank you. How is this working? Okay, next week is LA and San Rafael, the California class. The week after that, I'm turning 80 on the Friday before the class, and I'm going to have a kind of an in-person class here if anybody wants to come. I'm not into self-celebration at all, and I don't care if anybody comes, but if you want, we'll have a cake and something, happy birthday probably. And then after that, things will just continue as they are now aligned. And if anything comes up and gets in the way, I'll let you know. Otherwise, I'll keep seeing you every other week. And just know I send all my love to you guys and appreciate your being here.